إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship, has the right to be worshipped, is worshipped in truth, other than Allah, who is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. All you who believe, fear Allah as you are to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and say that which is correct, in order that Allah may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are millions and matters in this religion, and every millions and matter in religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a shame, and every shame is in the hellfire. Before we begin, I just want everyone to take a minute or less and just reflect on this khutbah al-haja, that which they just heard, that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage his companions and the rest of the Muslims, that whenever they wanted to present something before the Muslims, that they should begin with what you just heard. And it is known as al-khutbah al-haja, because there is a lot of guidance in what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Every member, alhamdulillah, when we come to the class, we hear this khutbah al-haja. And I hope that because of this repetition, that you don't take it for granted. As the brother hasn't begun his lesson yet, you just take it easy and don't really pay attention to what is being said until the lesson begins. But this introduction to the lesson might be the most important part of the lesson, as it has ayahs in the Qur'an where Allah tabaraka ta'ala asks you to fear Allah. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. Because of the shortness of the time, because Maghrib is getting earlier, by the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and I say that because the days are really long here. So we make Isha late and Fajr early. But Alhamdulillah, the weather is getting better, and the time is coming shorter, the days are getting shorter, so that we can have, inshaAllah Ta'ala, longer nights. And the nights are always best when they're longer. For reasons we don't have to mention, but the most important one, and we'll mention that, is that it gives us more time to stand up at night to worship Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because when the night is short, it's a little difficult to get up and go to sleep and then get back up again for Fajr and to go to work. But when the night is longer, it's easy to get up and spend an hour in worship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala while everyone else is asleep, and then go back to sleep and still get enough sleep to wake up for Fajr and to go to work. So Alhamdulillah. Today, inshaAllah Ta'ala, we're not going to mention the pathways of getting to Jannah, but we'll just start with today's lesson, inshaAllah. And it is the patience on losing a loved one from among our children, or other than our children. As the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, يقول الله تعالى ما لعبد المؤمن ما لعبد المؤمن عندي جزاء إذا قبضت صفيه من أهل الدنيا ثم احتسبه إلا الجنة. And this is narrated by Al-Bukhari. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala said, that there is not a reward that is given to one of my believing servants that has one of his loved ones taken from him, from this world, so long as he is patient with it, except Jannah. Let me try to rephrase that, inshallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said that there is no believing servant of mine that has a loved one dying in this world, and he is patient with the losing of his loved one, except that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will give him the reward of Jannah. And this is one of the ways to Jannah, that if Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala chooses to test any one of us with the loss of a loved one, a wife, a child, mother, father, or what have you, that the one that is patient with that loss, Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala will give him Jannah for being patient with that loss. And there are other hadith that state the same point. So we'll just mention this one hadith to show that among the ways to Jannah is that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tests any one of us with the loss of a loved one, and we're patient with that loss, then Allah will give us the reward of Jannah. Another way among the ways of Jannah is to be patient at the time that the calamity befalls one of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the calamity from us, and to make us patient with them when they befall us. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يقول الله سبحانه ابن آدم إن صبرت واحتبست واحتسبت عند الصدمة الأولى لم أرضى لك ثوابا دون الجنة. And this is collected by Ibn Majah. And it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu says, child of Adam, son of Adam, if you are patient and you seek the reward when the calamity first befalls you, then I am not pleased to have any reward for you less than Jannah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as narrated from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is showing us that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala promises us to reward us with Jannah if we're patient at the time but the calamity befalls us. And everyone knows how difficult it is that when the calamity befalls you, or at that time when you're hit hardest, it's hard to take it easy. It's hard to turn to Allah. But whoever does, then Allah will not be pleased with giving him a reward less than Jannah. The next way among the ways to Jannah is being patient for the loss of eyesight. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِذَا بَتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ فَصَبَرَ عَوَّدْتُهُ مِنْهُمَا الْجَنَّةِ يُرِيدُ عَيْنَيْهِ. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah عز وجل says, if I curse one of my servants with the loss of his two eyes, and he is patient, then I will replace those two eyes with Jannah. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the person who suffered with the loss of his eyesight with Jannah. We saw that in these three hadiths that we began with today, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began with saying, indeed Allah said, or Allah Azza wa Jal, or Allah Subhanahu says. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is, as Allah tabaraka ta'ala describes, وَمَا يَنْتُقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْهُ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا, that he does not think on his own desires, he only speaks on revelation revealed to him. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most trustworthy of the trustworthy, when he says, Allah Azza wa Jal says such and such, then for a certainty, Allah tabaraka ta'ala has said such and such. And the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, made it very different when he said Allah said, and at other times when he said Allah said, and he made it a part of the Quran. As we see this, is a statement of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, but it is a part of a hadith, as opposed to the Quran, which is also the speech of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, but it is the Quran. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to differentiate between what Allah said, if it was in the Quran or it wasn't in the Quran. But all of it is what Allah says, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't lie. The next way among the ways to Jannah is to be patient with having shirk. As in this hadith, عن عطاء قال قال لي ابن عباس ألا أريك امرأة من أهل الجنة قلت بلى قال هذه المرأة السوداء أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت إني أصرع وإني أتكشف فادعوا الله لي قال إن شئت صبرت ولك الجنة وإن شئت دعوت الله أن يعافيك فقالت أصبر فقالت إني أتكشف فادع الله لي أن لا أتكشف فدعا لها. And this hadith was collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the authority of Ata رحمه الله, he said that Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنه said, would you like me to show you a lady from among the women of Jannah? He said, of course. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, there was a black lady who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that I have sick or fallen to convulsions or whatever you call it. And I exposed myself when I fall into sick, meaning that her aura is uncovered when she has her sick. So she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua to Allah for me. Meaning ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to remove the shawl of having fit and convulsions. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you like, you could be patient and your reward would be Jannah. If you like, you could be patient with what Allah has tested you with of having fit and convulsions. And if you're patient, then Allah will give you Jannah. And if you like, I could ask Allah to heal you. And if you like, I could ask Allah to heal you. She said, I'll be patient. Here is the iman of a believing lady. A real true believing lady. If we look at ourselves and we look at the sicknesses that befall us or the trials that befall us on our body, with like we all wear glasses. And I hate to wear them. And many of us, we have problems and we hate it and we wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would cure us of our sickness. But how many of us, if we were faced with the statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you're patient, you'll get Jannah. And if you like, I can ask Allah to cure you, and He will cure you. How many of us will be patient with Allah, with what Allah has tested us with over Jannah? The things that we could take another path to get to Jannah. Here we see that the believing lady, radiallahu anha, that she was pleased with being patient because she knew that her reward was Jannah. We've been coming here every Monday, alhamdulillah, for a few weeks, and I think we've covered more than 40 different ways to get to Jannah. How many of those ways are we breaking our neck to travel to guarantee us a path to Jannah? We have to see that the people were the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they didn't hear of a way that can get them to Jannah, except that they chose that way over any other way. And this is why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says about them, radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. And this is why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says about them, wa kulna wa'adallahu al-husna. And all of them, we have promised Jannah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, when he showed for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, companions, to live with him, to believe in him, to fight with him and to die for the cause of La ilaha illallah. Allah chose these companions because of what they had of their iman. They believed in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and all of them were shining stars and examples for all of us to follow. So from here on, inshallah ta'ala, and I'm trying to make a little emphasis on this, because the next way to Jannah is going to be one of the rougher ways to get to Jannah. But we don't want anyone to be discouraged to choose a path other than the path of paradise. Because Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how to get to Jannah. And we've mentioned time and time again that it has already been predetermined, tariqun fil Jannah wa tariqun fil Sa'ir. There are a group of people in Jannah, in heaven, in the paradise. And there are a group of people in the hellfire. Here we're coming to the masjid, alhamdulillah, to hear the ways to go to Jannah. We just have to make sure that we're among those people who listen to what is said and follow it. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make us among those people who say, I hear and I obey. The next way, to finish the hadith, the lady said, radiallahu anha, that I'll be patient. She said, but I expose myself when I fall into a trip to ask Allah to allow me not to expose myself when I fall into a trip, because I'm going to be patient with falling into a trip, but I want you to ask Allah to help me not to reveal myself and I fall into a fit. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her. And radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is one of the believing women. And here, inshallah, is the hadith on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected by Ibn Hibban in his book called Sahih Ibn Hibban. And it's an authentic hadith. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to show the other women how they could be a lady from the women of Jannah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا صَلَّتْ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَسَّنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وأطاعت بعلها دخلت من أي أبواب الجنة شاءت. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, if a lady makes her 5 salat a day and fasts the month of Ramadan and keeps her private parts shut, meaning not allowing anyone to enter them other than her husband, keeping her private parts shut and obeying her husband, and this is the point we want to emphasize, and obeying her husband, she could enter any door of Jannah she chooses. Here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving the women a chance to enter Jannah by making their five salat, fasting their month of Ramadan, keeping their private parts chaste, and obeying their husbands. And obeying their husbands is the point that we want to emphasize, and we're going to see in the rest of the hadith that are coming, that the women, if they want to get to Jannah, they actually obey us. And what I mean by obey us is obey our every command. Let me just repeat that so that nobody is confused with what I'm saying. Obey our every command. Every Muslim that has been making this up, this is from the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And nobody should fear except that what they're hearing is the truth from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And of course, we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا طاعة في لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. That there is no obedience to the creation and disobedience to the creator. So if any man asks or commands a lady to be disobedient to her creator, the Lord, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that lady has no right to obey that man. But in everything that's not disobedience to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, she has to obey. And I don't think that any man, a believing Muslim man, would command his wife or ask of his wife to do something which is disobedient to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And for that, I say that the women, okay. And this is narrated or collected by Ahmed, Imam Ahmed, Imam al-Nasa'i, and other than them, and this is the authentic hadith. Hussein ibn Mahsan, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu, said that a aunt of his came to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning some concern of hers. And when she finished with her concern, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, do you have a husband? Or are you a lady with a husband? She said, yes. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then how are you with your husband? How are you with your husband? Listen to the answer of the lady who understands her religion. The lady who knows that her husband, being obedient to him, is a way for her to enter Jannah. And being disobedient to him is a way for her to enter into the hellfire. Listen to this believing lady. I don't fall short at all in obeying him and serving him, except for that which, except for that which I don't have the ability to do, or something like that. I don't fall short at all in obeying him and serving him, except in that which I don't have the ability to do. But I just fall short because I don't have the ability to do it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should look at how you are with him, because he is your Jannah and your fire. He is your way to Jannah and your way to the hellfire. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was encouraging the women to be mindful of the fact that the hellfire is real, and that Jannah is real, and that the way to this one is obedience to your husband. And the way to that one is disobedience to your husband. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to be telling this to a lady who didn't fall short of obedience to her husband, or serving her husband. How much more so should the women who fall short in obeying their husband and serving their husband be reminded of the fact that paradise is in obeying their husband, and the hellfire is in disobeying their husband. عن أنس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا أخبركم بنسائكم من أهل الجنة قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال كل وليد لديد إذا غضبت أو أوتي إليها أو غضب قالت يدي في يدك لا أكتحل بغمض حتى ترضى ما شاء الله. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Saghir in its authentic. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as believing men to make all of our women this type of lady. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, should I not inform you of the women from the companions of the Jannah? They say, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He says, everyone that gives birth to a lot of children loves her husband, and her husband loves her. Or something like that, inshallah. Every lady who gives birth to a lot of children, and she really loves her husband, and her husband loves her. This is the women from among the women of Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on in describing the lady that we asked Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make our wives among this type. When she gets mad, or he is mean to her, or he gets angry at her, she says, my hand is in your hand, and I won't go to sleep until you plead with me. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we hope that the brothers and the sisters memorize this hadith, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, should I not tell you or inform you of the women from the companions of Jannah? They said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. He said, every lady that gives birth to many children, and she really loves her husband, and her husband really loves her. And when she gets mad, or he is mean to her, or he is mean to her, or he is angry at her, she says, my hand is in your hand. Or she puts her hand in his hand, and says, I won't go to sleep until you're pleased with me. MashaAllah. These are the real women. The modest, believing, humble women. Not the arrogant one to say, who started it? Okay, I started it. And I know how much I started. And probably every man can say the same thing. He walked into the house, one little thing's out of place, bam. He starts it. Then after he starts it, she gets mad. And then he gets mad. And then she said, well, you're the one that started it. Let me tell you, I'm talking to her, I started it, but let me tell you, a lady or the women from among the women of Jannah, they say, my hand is in your hand, and I won't go to sleep until you plead with me. And he started it. Women, you shouldn't be so arrogant that we should humble ourselves to just submit to being a lady from among the women of Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic narration, الوديد الوليد التي إذا ظلمت أو ظلمت قالت هذه ناصيتي بيدي لا أذوق غمضا حتى ترضى. In this narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, she's the one who loves her husband a lot and he loves her, and she gives birth to a lot of children. The one that is oppressed, or she is oppressive, she says, my forehead is in your hand, and I won't taste any sleeping until you're pleased. These are the women of Jannah. And I know the brothers are getting happy, but don't get happy until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a wife like this. And since we're on that subject, inshallah ta'ala, we want to bring a couple more hadith, or more. Not that I have anything against the women, but I'm happy, alhamdulillah, to be married. But just to let the women know, and inshallah, after that we'll let the men know their place on earth and how they should be if they want to be from among the women of Jannah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, showing the position of the man over the women, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 228, where Allah Ta'ala says that the women have rights for them, just like they have rights against them. But the men have a higher degree over them. And Allah is عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah is the mighty and wise. So Allah Ta'ala is the one, out of his mercy and his generosity, who has blessed the men to be a degree above the women. And that the women should be happy with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them. And the men should be pleased with the places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And that everyone should be happy with their own place and not think that this is some competition for who is to be above who. That everybody has their place and everyone has the reward if they are in their place and they live up or fulfill that which is asked of them. And the men, before we get back to the women, just to remind ourselves, before we hear these hadiths that make us feel good, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبَغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. That if they obey you, if the women obey you, then don't transgress or don't take any way against them, if they obey you. Indeed, Allah is Ali Kabir, the high or the magnificent and the great. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us in check by telling us, okay, once He blesses us with the right to obey us, then let's not transgress the bounds against them and take advantage of what Allah has blessed us with, so that we should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with a beautiful, obedient wife, and not to transgress the bounds against her. So the women shouldn't feel that, inshallah ta'ala, that being so obedient to their husbands, that their husbands will transgress the bounds. But we're reminding ourselves, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the dhikra, that remind the benefits to believers. So though we're hearing the hadith where the women should be obedient to the men, we're also reminded that the men, after their wives have been obedient to them, they shouldn't try to be oppressive or transgress their bounds after their women have been obedient to them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in authentic hadith, لا يحل لامرأة أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذنه ولا تأذن في بيته إلا بإذنه. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, where he says it is not permissible for a lady to fast when her husband is present, except with his permission, and that she shouldn't allow anyone to enter his house except by his commission. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching the women the etiquette of being believing women. And that is that it's not permissible for them to fast and to go as Monday a day of fasting, that it's not permissible for them to fast except with the permission of their husband. So the women, they can see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the position that Allah has blessed the men with over the women. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this next authentic hadith, collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا جَعَى الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِهِ فَلَمْ تَأْتِهِ فَبَاتَتْ غَضْبَانٌ عَلَيْهِ لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a man calls his wife to the door and she doesn't come, and he goes to sleep being angry at her, the angels curse her until the morning comes. Which lady is pleased to be called to bed by her husband and refuse having him go to sleep all at night and the angels cursing her all night until the morning comes? وَلَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودُ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. And no one knows the number or the amount of angels that Allah has except Him. Nobody knows the number of those angels cursing you all night until the morning comes. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَا تُؤَدِّي الْمَرْأَةُ حَقَّ رَبِّهَا حتى تؤدي حق زوجها ولو سألها نفسها وهي على رقد على قتب لم تمنعه نفسها. And this is collected by Ibn Majah and Imam Ahmad in his authentic. And this, inshallah ta'ala, really shows that sisters, you can't please the Lord Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala until you please your husband. You can't please Allah without pleasing us. And many of the men, we know that it's difficult to be pleased. So the sisters should be going all out trying to please us. And that the more they see that we're not pleased, the more of an encouragement it should be to them to please us. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I swear by the one who Muhammad's soul is in his hand. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is swearing by Allah that a lady could not fulfill her Lord's right over her until she fulfills the right of her husband over her. That she cannot fulfill the rights that her Lord Allah Azza wa Jal has over her until she fulfills the rights that her husband has over her. So much so that if he asks her of herself and she was on a riding animal, she shouldn't refuse presenting herself to him. Even if she was on an animal, she's going on a camping trip, she's riding on the horseback, I gotta have it. She can't please her Lord until she gives you your right. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this next hadith that we mentioned last week, that we'll mention the exact text to show the sisters that if they continue to hear the text of the hadith or the text of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and continue to be disobedient, check this one out. لا تؤدي امرأة زوجها في الدنيا إلا قال زوجته من الحور العين لا تؤذيني قاتلك الله فإن ما هو عندك دخيل يوشك أن يفارقك إلينا.
And this is collected by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this authentic hadith, don't let any lady harm her husband in this world, because his wife in the hereafter, from the Hur al-Ain, the women of Jannah, will say, because they say, because the women in the Hur al-Ain of Jannah say, don't harm him, may Allah curse you. Don't you know that he was only with you as a guest, and he was about to leave you and come to us? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we were mentioning in the beginning to reflect on the statement, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is this guidance that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving you. As far as treating your husband, you can read any book you want. You can ask anyone you want, what should I do? You won't find guidance better than the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't let any lady harm her husband in this world. Because his wife in the hereafter from among the Hur al-Ain will say, don't harm him, may the curse of Allah be on you. Meaning that the curse of Allah be on the women that harm their husbands, that make their husbands angry and upset and feel uncomfortable and out of place. Don't you know that you are only a guest with him and he is about to leave you to come to us? The Messenger of Allah, salawatu Allahi wa salamu alayhi, was questioned, أَيُّ النِّسَاءِ خَيْرٌ قَالْ أَلَّتِي تَسُرُّهُ إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا وَتُطِيعُهُ إِذَا أَمَرَهَا وَلَا تُخَالِفُهُ فِيمَا يَكْرَهُ فِي نَفْسِهَا وَلَا فِي مَالِهِ وَفِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَا فِي مَالِهِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is collected by Imam Ahmad. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioning, which women are the best women? He said, the ones that when you look at them, they please you. And this is an encouragement for the women to beautify themselves in their homes so that when their husbands look at them, it pleases them. When their husbands come home after working hard, and all of the husbands work hard, and the reason I'm saying all of the husbands work hard is because if I was to let a lady say it, she would say the opposite. As we're going to see in the hadith coming after this. The best women are the ones that when you look at them, they please you. When you command them, they obey you. When you command them, they obey you. They don't say, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, you're asking too much of me. When they command them, they obey them. And she doesn't oppose him and the things that he hates about her. That if he dislikes something about her, she doesn't oppose him and continue in it, but she tries to change herself in order to please her husband. And also, she doesn't oppose him, and Allah knows best to the meaning of this in his will. The next hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَرَأَيْتُ النَّارَ فَلَمْ أَرَتْ يَكْفُرْنَ الْإِحْسَانِ لو أحسنت إلى إحداهن الدهر ثم رأت منك شيئا قالت ما رأيت منك خيرا قط. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is the start of a long hadith, I saw the hellfire and I didn't see anything like what I saw the day I saw that hellfire. And here the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the horror of the hellfire. And then he went on to say, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, and I saw that most of the companions of the hellfire were women. Surprisingly, they asked, why, ya Rasulullah? He says, because of their kufr. They said, they disbelieve in Allah? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, they're ungrateful to their partners, to their husbands. And the word kufr, so as the people can learn the meaning of this Arabic word, that it has two meanings in the Arabic language. Kufr can mean disbelief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and kufr can mean ungratefulness. So the word kufr has two meanings, not one meaning. One of the meanings is disbelief in Allah, and the other meaning is ungratefulness. So here we see the women, they were surprised. You disbelieve in Allah? He said no, but you're ungrateful to your partner. And you're ungrateful to the good that they do to you, or do for you. And look, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if one of you, talking to the men, if one of you was to treat her good for the whole of her life, if one of you were to treat her good for the whole of her life, and then she sees one thing in you wrong, she'd say, I ain't never saw no good in you. I ain't never saw no good in you. And the reason why I was using the so-called black English, I ain't never saw no good in you before, is to show the emphasis on it. When the African Americans use three negatives in one sentence, they really want to emphasize the point. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Arabic, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَطْ. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arabic is emphasizing. And we know that when we translate Arabic, that we're only translating it to the language that the people understand. I ain't never saw no good in you ever. This is how grateful or ungrateful the women are when you treat them good and you do one thing wrong. You take care of them for 20 years, one thing wrong, they act like you're the worst man that ever walked on the face of the earth, as if you're not their Jannah, one now. As if they forgot that you're not the way to Jannah, or to the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَوْ كُنْتُ آمِرًا أَحَدًا أَنْ يَسْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ لَأَمَرْتُ الْمَرْأَةَ أَنْ تَسْجُدَ لِزَوْجِهَا. And this is collected by Ibn Hibban and Al-Bayhaqi, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if I were to command anyone to prostrate to another person, then I would have commanded the women to prostrate to their husbands. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu wa sallamu alayhi is just trying to show the importance that the women should give and obey and serving their husbands. Because we know that sujood is not except for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That prostration is only for Allah alone. And that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been given the right to allow someone to prostrate to someone other than Allah, it would have been the women to their husbands. The Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, says, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ سَأَلَتْ زَوْجَهَا الطَّلَاقَ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَا بَأْسٍ فَحَرَامٌ عَلَيْهَا رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. And this is collected by Abu Dawood in a Tirmidhi, that any lady that asks her husband for a divorce for no reason, any lady that asks her husband for divorce for no reason, then the smell of Jannah is haram for that lady. For that lady who wants her husband to divorce her for no reason, then the smell of Jannah is haram for that lady. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and these last few hadith, inshaAllah, are advice for the men. InshaAllah ta'ala, I think the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi has been enough for the women. And that the women should reflect on that which they heard. And they should get any disease out of their heart that would prevent them from acting in accordance to that which they just heard. And for the men, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر أو قال غيره. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no man should be angry, no believing man should be angry at a believing lady. No believing man should be angry at a believing lady. If there is something in her character that he dislikes or hates, then there is something else in her that he likes. Or he says something other than that, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So here you see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that the believing men, they don't get angry at the believing women. Just because the fool wasn't ready. Just because the fool wasn't ready, maybe there was something else in her that she liked. And whatever that the sisters do, inshallah ta'ala, there's always something else that we like. So the brothers should be careful to be of being angry with their believing women, because if they hate something in their character, then for sure there is something else that they like. And we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give us the strength not to be angry with our wives. Oh Allah, we ask you to give us the strength not to be angry with our wives. Oh Allah, we ask you for the strength not to be angry with our wives. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِعَيْنِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari that your body has a right over you and your eyes have a right over you, or your eyes, inshallah, she's referring to the eyes, have a right over you, and your wives have a right over you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. And this is collected by Imam al-Tahawi and Mushkil al-Athar, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of you are the best of you to your wives, and I am the best among all of you to my wives. And in the next narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُهُمْ خِيَارُهُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. Now this is collected by At-Tirmidhi and Imam Ahmed. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the believers with the most perfect iman, the believers with the most perfect, complete type of faith are the ones with the best character. And the best from among them, among the believers, are the best of them to their women. So the best among the men in this room is the best of us to our wives. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلَا إِنَّ لَكُمْ عَلَى نِسَائِكُمْ فَلَا يَطِعْنَا فرشكم من تكرهون ولا يأذن في بيوتكم لمن تكرهون ألا وحقهن عليكم أن تحسنوا إليهن وكسوتهن
وكسوتهن وطعامهن. Or كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, certainly you have rights over your women, over your wives, that they don't let anyone walk on your carpet from among the people you dislike, and that they don't let anyone into your houses from those who you dislike. And certainly they have rights over you, and they are that you have to treat them kindly, or do them right, or treat them goodly, and clothe them and feed them. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that the women have their rights and that we have to treat them good. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, rather with question, in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Aida radiallahu anhu qal, يا رسول الله ما حق زوجة في أحدنا عليه؟ قال أن تطعمها إذا طعمت وتكسوها إذا اكتسيت ولا تقبح الوجه ولا تضرب ولا تهجر إلا في البيت كيف وقد أفضى بعضكم إلى بعض إلا بما حل عليهم. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim. When Muawiyah ibn Haydar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, what rights do the women, does a wife have over her husband? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he feeds her when he feeds himself, that he clothes her when he clothes himself, and that he doesn't say قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ وَجْهَكَ, and that he doesn't say, O Allah, make her face ugly. And this is an expression that the Arabs used to use when they used to say something bad against a person. They say, O Allah, make her face ugly. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't say this. He's trying to don't say something bad to her. And don't hit her in her face. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alluding to when he says, don't hit her in her face, because in other places you can hit her. And don't boycott her, or don't, don't boycott her, don't stay away from her, except that you're in the house. Meaning, if you get upset with her, angry with her, don't go sleep in the masjid. That don't, subhanAllah, sleeping in the masjid at night. Don't abandon her or boycott her, except in the house. Go sleep on the couch, or make her sleep on the couch or something. But just don't leave the house when you boycott her. And the Messenger of Allah said, and how can you do that when you have intercourse with one another? One day, you get your rocks off, as they say, and the next day, Allah to me these words seem more polite than the other words. Allah knows best. And this is why sometimes, you know, we ask Allah to barak wa ta'ala to make it easy on us to learn the Arabic language. So that we can understand the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because sometimes the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it, it's the best way. As he says, كَيْفَ وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says it in the best way. But I'm just Abu Muslim and I'm just shy. And we ask Allah to forgive us for our shortcomings. How can you come to your wife one day or that day, and then because of a little problem, you go see to the masjid, you go to the masjid and sleep? I ain't going back to the house, that bitch don't know how to act. So here we see what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing, how important that act is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only made permissible between husband and wife, or a man and what his right hand possesses, from among the war captives. That thing is so important that after you have saved the dowry and you've married the sister and you're able to have of her what you like, how can you do that and then leave her house for a couple of days over an argument? This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to say. How can you have your fun with your sister and then just leave the house? And he goes on to say, illa bima halla alayhimma. And Allah knows best to that translation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to what is said and follow the best of it. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the good in this world and the hereafter, and to save us from the hellfire. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make the halal sufficient for us so that we don't have to dip into the haram. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله. And if there's any questions, then we'll take them after صلاة المغرب. And if not, والحمد لله. أما بعد، there was a question. Yes. Right, yes. The brother is asking concerning the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith that we quoted, la tadrib, which means don't hit the face of the lady. He said that I said that it had implied that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that we could hit the woman in other than that place. And there is an ayah in the Quran, maybe someone can remind us of the verse in the chapter number. I don't know the number of the verse offhand, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran, that among the cures for a problem marriage, if it goes to that extent that the men could hit the women. And this is the issue, inshaAllah ta'ala, that there is no... Verse number 34 of chapter Nisa', which is the fourth chapter, shows clearly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that beating the women is a way to keep them, in check. And he's just giving the Quran to quote part of that. وَاللَّاتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِظُوهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضُرِبُوهُنَّ. And those women that you fear from disobedience, then you should admonish them as the first step, or warn them. And then the second step is that you shouldn't sleep with them in their bed. And then the third step, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and hit them. So hitting them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Quran, is to hit them, but not to hit them in the face, as the Messenger of Allah teaches us in that hadith. جزاك الله. نعم.
Brother is saying to the people who are a little rough with their women, and just hitting the women doesn't mean that we could, I don't want to use the example that he used, but could you go to any length in hitting the women. I don't remember the hadith, where's the word right now. But there's an authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and maybe next time we'll bring it, which is almost the exact same wording of this ayah that we just quoted. Except that when the Messenger of Allah sallam says, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ, he says, ضَرْبٌ غَيْرُ مُبَرِّحٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he says, hurt them with a beating that isn't a rough or a harsh beating. So, no, we shouldn't beat our women that type of beating that some of these ignorant, whatever. Next. The brother is asking, which steps should we just be doing during our lives? If we look at the verse in the Quran, the verse is detailing the steps that you should take. And there was a lecture given at Bayt al-Khaliq by Shaykh Muhammad Sayyid Adli on the steps that you should use before divorcing your wife. The second question is,
it seems that from the outward appearance, that she would have, you know, that she would be justified at least from performing to the man of beauty, something like that. So, I was saying that, and that was what one of the times it says, that it seems that women have a tendency to perform when they get a work off, or take it, you know, do the beauty out of it. From the outward appearance, I guess, to everybody else,
the brother is making a statement, and I don't want to turn this into a foot class, but he said it appears that when the women get beat, they come to the masjid and complain that... I think you should take the mic because I can't remember the whole. If there's no more questions, I'll just give the brother the mic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.